burst from cover and raced for the Ville's wall. Turley, broad and muscular, took the anchor. Henderson, the tallest of the group, scrambled up on top of the private and stood with his boots on the other man's shoulders. When he reached up, Henderson could manage the top of the wall with relative ease. Squatting in the shadows pooled at the bottom of the wall, Conti covered his team with the silenced H&K MP5 submachine pistol. Whitaker was the next man up, climbing up and over Turley easily. He vanished over the top of the wall, a shadow ghosting along on an invisible wind. Conti kept a dual mental count going. One set of numbers was for the time since they'd taken out the security guards, and the other was for the time they were spending scaling the wall. The team hadn't had a hard time tracking Carter and his people. The tracks of the vehicles had been easy enough to take up. They'd made the outskirts of the town almost 2 hours before sundown. The vehicle they'd taken from the small redoubt they'd arrived in was secured almost 5 miles back. After a wreck with binoculars, Conti had spotted the dearth of guards hanging around a tavern, visible from their vantage point among the trees almost 300 yards distant. The tavern was called the Bent Rose, and the heavily armed vehicles in front of it looked a lot like the ones that had intercepted Carter and his group. It had been enough to warrant further investigation, and if Conti found Carter, he fully intended to see the man dead before morning. Ryan looked down at the boy on the bed. Tarragon lay quietly, one hand against his forehead above his fever-reddened eyes, and the other touching the pouch at his neck. You feeling better?
Yes, thank you.
Think you're ready to move?
We have to, don't we?
Yeah.
We're in New London, aren't we?
Yeah.
I thought so. We've never been inside a building like this, except for the abandoned ones farther out from the Thorpe.
Ryan reached down and took the boy by the shoulder, steadying him as he brought him into a sitting position.
Have you friends here?
Before Ryan could answer, the boy reached up and touched his hand, gripping to stand upright. An electric charge seemed to ripple through Ryan.
No, you don't. You're strangers to this land. The prince has taken one of your own, and you intend to get her back.
You a mutie kid?
I don't recognize the term.
The way you know things.
I've always been different. The prince has made a habit out of killing anyone who's different. But my father kept me very well hidden.
Your father?
Foxglove. He was a healer. One of the best. Pepper killed him, though, at Prince Bolt's request.
Have you any other family?
None by blood. But there are those who will take me in if I manage the return home.
Why didn't you go to them?
I would have endangered them. Pepper and his seed heralds were following too close to me and Bean.
So you chose to endanger us instead?
I thought perhaps you were raiders. If I could get close enough before Pepper and his seed heralds overtook me, I planned to lose them during the skirmish. But by the time I reached you, I'd been wounded and was barely able to stand, let alone escape.
It was a good plan. Maybe it would have even worked.
They killed Bean before we had the chance to reach you.
We're sorry to hear that.
I'd expected more of you. In numbers, I mean.
Well, looks like it worked out anyway.
Except that the woman in your group is now missing.
What are the chances that she's still alive?
The chances are good. But only for a time. Prince Bolt eventually kills anyone he finds who stands against him.
Why was your father killed? For protecting you?
No. That wasn't discovered until later. Wild Root is fragmenting.
What is Wild Root, Tarragon?
What we call our Ville.
By fragmenting, you're talking about the rebellion?
You know about this?
Garrick told me.
Garrick?
The raider captain.
We never knew his name.
Ryan picked up the boy's boots and handed them to him. Tarragon started to put them on. Ryan tried not to think about the fact that traveling tonight could kill the boy before morning. JB was already out procuring horses for their escape, and Ryan was still working out the details of that. He figured with enough Plasex, anything could be accomplished.
Are you part of the rebellion?
My father was.
That's why he was killed.
Yes.
Pepper found out?
The prince did, but he sent Pepper out to kill him.
Is that going to stop the rebellion?
No, it can't. Prince Bolt is trying to bring about the time of the great uprooting. If he is successful, it will be the death of us all anyway. Our only chance to live is to destroy him first, before he can enact it.
What is the time of the great uprooting?
It's a plague. It was designed by Prince Bolt's father. It was supposed to be set free in the world, in the event the Celtic people were threatened from without. The seeds of rebellion were already sown in Wildroot. The prince's ways are too harsh. Living things need space to grow. He's allowed our people none of that.
Why?
To keep our stock true to our roots, so that we may breed true and be the best of what is in our natures.
The people of Wildroot haven't done that.
No.
There were some who wanted children of their own, instead of the vat-grown offspring Prince Bolt gave out in exchange for hard work and diligence.
So they had them naturally.
Ryan looked at his lover and saw that her hair had crept in on itself, lying tight against her scalp. He spared a glance out the window. From where he was standing, the moonlight outside was more revealing than the light of the small fire in the corner. Without electricity, the streets below were dark. Light from the front of the bent row spilled out into the avenue and over Gehrig's wags parked outside. The eaves blocked part of the view. Glancing east, Ryan searched for a sign of JB. Once the armorer returned with the horses, Ryan and Jack would take care of the rest, provided Jack and Doc returned anytime soon.
Yes, they had children, and they loved them. Some, the ones that the prince could ascertain, and even some he wasn't sure of, were put to death. Their bodies burned, so that they weren't even allowed the dignity of becoming part of the growth cycle.
Why hasn't anyone chilled this prince?
He is too well guarded, and we have no weapons. No blasters, anyway. The Seed Heralds know their futures depend on the prince's well-being. If they fall out of his favor, they won't be granted immunity from the plague.
What will the plague do?
It's specially designed. My father was able to look at some of the plans for it. He was high up in the prince's hierarchy. When it is released, the plague will replicate itself, killing everything remotely human that it touches.
Including muties? Some of those can be hard to kill.
Mutations were expected. With the amount of nuclear radiation involved in the war, Prince Bolt's father knew the surviving humans would be radically affected. He feared monsters. When the raiders came among us, killing the bands of pollinators and caretakers, and raping the women among them before putting them to death, my people felt certain only the vicious had survived the end of the First World.
That's not always the case.
But more often than not, it is. Tarragon, if Bolt releases this plague, how does he plan to survive it?
There are cryo chambers beneath his castle. He and his chosen few are supposed to go there and wait out the effects of the plague.
How long?
A generation, two, perhaps longer.
Why didn't your father and the other people dissatisfied with life around Bolt leave?
There is no place to run to that the plague will not reach. It was designed to cover the entire world in a decade or less. Windborne, waterborne, even spread by carriers that will later die. It will be everywhere.
What about an antidote?
There is none.
JB peered through the darkness at the dozing stable hand. The boy leaned over a section of fence inside the barn that had been made from one of the older buildings. JB reached out, unseen and unheard, and seized the dozing boy by the throat. The stable boy started fighting at once. He was beefy and strong, 20 pounds heavier than JB, but the armorer was relentless. JB eased the boy to the ground amid the straw covering the concrete floor. The barn housed about 40 horses. All of them seemed to be well cared for, and all of them belonged to Gehrig or Gehrig's people. The structure was dimly lit by oil lanterns that hung on support posts lining the paddocks. Saddles, bridles, and blankets hung from shelves on one side of the barn. In minutes, the armorer had 6 horses saddled, tied together, and ready for travel. Getting down the alley on one horse while leading 5 others was no easy thing, but it was worth the risk, since riding out of the ville was a better option than escape on foot. Stealing one of the wags had been an alternative, but Gehrig kept guards posted on them. If one of them went missing, the raider captain would know immediately. JB's heart dropped as he spotted 2 shadows moving on the other side of the bent rows. He caught only a brief glimpse in the moonlight, but he clearly recognized the closer of the two to be one of the military people that had followed them into the Matrans unit in White Sands.
Oh, shit. Yeah!
Mildred had accompanied Bolt back into the mouth of the yawning route, through the corridors, through new twists and turns that she was sure took her farther and farther into the depths of the mountain. Bolt led her into a vast chamber hollowed out in a space 30 feet in height and easily 3 times that in length. Computer hardware lined the cavern, seemingly on the verge of being absorbed into the root walls, the fibrous bark highly polished and reflecting the lights in the sheen of the machines. Bolt now sat, staff in hand, at the end of a sculpted wood throne at the head of a conference table. Mildred sat uncomfortably across from him, scanning the room. She spotted the familiar lines of the Matrans unit in the softened shadows against one of the far walls. Mildred felt the presence of the guards at her back, even though they stayed out of her sight.
Once my plan has been carried out, no one will be spared, of course.
You're insane.